Federal News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Good morning and welcome to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. I'm Jim Russ. The doc and I are away today, but through the magic and miracle of digital audio, the virtual classroom remains in place. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. We have your letters this morning. We also have profiles in IT. We'll talk about how law enforcement uses technology and what the doc calls tech zombies, and also a lot of stuff in the kitchen. So stay with us here on the best of Tech Talk.
But now it's time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
That's right. I've got an email from Ellen. Dear Tech Talk, my husband wants to reformat his computer. Now, Ellen, I think you mean reformat his hard drive on the computer, but that's okay.
Close enough.
Because of a virus. He wants to save certain files and wants to know the best way to save those files. Ellen. Well, I'm glad that you recognize that when you reformat the hard drive, Ellen, that all the files, all your document files, pretty much disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any document files, you truly do need to save those. So you need to identify where all those files are located. Also, if you have any device drivers that you had to download, special device drivers that are there, you might want to preserve those device drivers so you don't have to go find them again. That's especially true if you've got some special hardware in the computer. Now, if you absolutely want to make certain that you have everything, because maybe you'd forgotten about a file, one way to know that you have everything is to just do an image of your hard drive. And you can use a program like Acronis True Image or an equivalent to that to back up your entire machine. Most likely, you could back it up to another hard drive. And actually, if you run regular backups, it's not a bad idea just to run a disk image to an external hard drive. You can buy a 1 gigabyte external hard drive for a few hundred bucks now. It's just a 1 terabyte. I should say 1 terabyte external hard drive for just a few hundred bucks, and that's really the way to go these days. But probably you don't want to do that. Probably you just want to do the minimum amount that would be required. And so in that case, you just want to back up the specific document files that you have on the hard drive, and so that you have to identify them. Hopefully they're all in one subdirectory. And you can back those up to any kind of storage media. You could back it up to floppy disks. More than likely, they're going to be too many. So the floppy disk, since it only has 1.44 megabytes on each floppy, that's probably not going to be enough for you.
How about a thumb drive?
A thumb drive is probably very nice. A thumb drive, you could get a gigabyte thumb drive and back up all of your documents to a thumb drive, USB thumb drive. That's what I would probably use. I've got a 4 gig thumb drive. I transfer files between computers all the time with a thumb drive. You could also copy them to an external hard drive, which is quite convenient. I've got two external hard drives at the house. I use them for backing up my files, so you can just copy to the external hard drive. It's pretty quick, and then when you're ready, just copy them back again. You could also burn them to a CD or a DVD. So you could actually take and save them to a CD or a DVD. Now, that's an option, and you just copy them right back on. Finally, you have the option, if you have a networked system and there are two computers on the network, you can simply share the hard drives, and you can copy them to another computer over the network. Mm-hmm. I do that a lot at work. Whenever we back up new machines, we always do that. So the key element here is to actually locate the files you want, copy them to someplace else, reformat the hard drive, and then copy them back. Now, I kind of like the idea of backing them up to a CD or a DVD, because guess what? You've now created a backup of your critical documents, which you can now archive.
Right.
And there have been times I used to do quite a bit of backing up to CDs, and one time I had a disc just crash on me, And I'm telling you, the backups that I had on DVD, on CDs at that time, really were lifesavers. Mm-hmm. So you can sort of automatically get a backup when you do it to a CD. But those are the tricks of the trade, and you just have to stay out of the places where you seem to be picking up those viruses. I don't know what's going on there. But,
interesting.
But best of luck, and I would make certain if you have any critical files, after your husband has backed them up, I would check the place where he backed them up to make certain that all the files that are important to you are there before he does the reformatting of the hard drive.
A couple of questions. Do you have to make sure those files are not corrupted once you've moved them? Maybe they've been corrupted by what's ever happened to the hard drive. Is that a possibility?
It is possible. Those files could, in fact, have embedded viruses in them. So what you want to do is when you redo the hard drive, you would want to then install the virus protection on the system with and get the latest updates. And then, as you copy the new files back on, the virus protection will automatically scan the files as it's being copied back, and if there's a virus on it, it won't let it be loaded onto the hard drive.
Is it possible that they need to take a look at their virus protection as well at this point?
I'd get the latest upgrades to mm-hmm. virus protection. This is the other thing. When you actually reinstall the operating system, it's going to be in its native condition, which means you're going to have to get a lot of security updates. And so you make certain that when you get the security updates over the Internet that you're behind a hardware firewall because you are vulnerable while that's going on. And if you got a Microsoft Windows, you might have to do 20 or 30 updates. You could be online for an hour or so just downloading these security updates. Also make certain that your virus protection software, you get all the latest updates for that. And after you've done all of the security updates, all of the virus security updates, then and only then copy the files back on. Got an email from Amy. Amy said, "Dear Tech Talk, how can I set up my own blog?"
That's short, sweet, and simple.
That's right. She said, "All my friends have blogs, and, well, I feel left out. I want to find out how to do it." Mm-hmm. Well, Amy, you sent an email to the right place. setting up a blog is actually quite easy. There are a lot of tools that are out there, but you have to set up. When you set up your blog, you have to decide what your niche is going to be, because when you're writing a blog, it's a long-term deal. You got to decide who's your audience. You've got to choose a subject that's not too narrow, not too broad. And then once you've selected a subject and a niche audience, you got to look around for your competition. So that takes a little bit of research.
Well, for some people, their blogs, their subject is themselves, right?
Themselves. Well, that would be like a diary. Okay. Yeah, I guess if you want to do a diary, that you could do that. But some people like to have blogs that attract traffic or controversial and have long-term readership. Now, once you have decided on your subject, you need to name your blog. It could be wistful thinking or whatever you want to say. And it's very important that you check to see whether there's a domain name available that's the same name as your blog, because most of the blogs actually, like, there's a Boing Boing blog, and you can go to boingboing.com. So you want to match the URL with the name. So don't pick a name that where the URL is not available. Mm-hmm. And you want to do that. Then once you selected a name and you know that the URL is available, you can check, by the way, on URL. That's Universal Resource Locator. That's your web address. That's what URL stands for. It's basically the web address. You can go to the Whois database. You just Google Whois database, and it will, and you can look up different domain names. It'll tell you whether they're available or not. If it is available, you can go to their network solutions, or if you want to go a little cheaper route, you can go to GoDaddy.com. They're probably the cheapest registrar on the Internet. And you can register your domain name for anywhere between $10 to $29 a year.
Sometimes you've got to go buy that domain name. Aren't there people that buy them up and
I mean, if somebody's already got it, I'd forget about it.
Yeah.
Now the next thing is, now that you've got your name, your subject, and your domain name, now you want to decide, how am I going to host my blog? Now, if you're a beginner, you're simply going to want to go to a website that hosts blogs. And you can create an account, and you can have a blog up and running in 5 minutes. I mean, it's really quick, and they're by and large, some of them have a small fee, but many of them are free.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you can do, you can take and point your URL that you just purchased to the address of this blog on that hosted site. So somebody types wistfulthinking.com, for instance, and it will go directly to that. It will be pointed directly to the page on this hosted site. Now, there are basically, most people when they're just getting started do go ahead and get a hosted site, and there are, I'm going to talk about four of them that are available for you that that are not bad, and then when you really get advanced, you could host your own blogging software, but this is really more for the technical people.
Right.
Now, there are actually four that are pretty good. Blogger.com is one that where you can actually, they'll do hosting for you, blogger.com. There's also wordpress.com. That's the one that I like. There's vox.com, V-O-X.com, and there's typepad.com, typepad.com. And blogger.com is pretty good for first-time bloggers. It's fairly limited in its flexibility. But if you, it doesn't really require much knowledge of any HTML to get it up and running. And the URL or the web address when you're on blogger.com would be www.yourblogname, which might be wistful thinking, www.wistfulthinking.blogger.com. That's kind of a long name.
Yeah.
That's why you'd want to have your URL point to that name, and bingo, then the person doesn't have to type in that long name. Now, WordPress is quite nice. You can go to wordpress.com. They will host your site free. If you want to get extra features and get an advanced feature, you can pay a little bit of a monthly charge, and you can get some additional features. Now, the nice thing about WordPress.com is that you can actually download the whole software from WordPress.org. So if you'd want to host your own, later on, you'd want to host your own server, you could download WordPress.org. It's free. And you could host your own site. And so it's a very nice sort of way to sort of phase into it. It's designed for the savvy beginner. And when I mean savvy beginner, you've got to know a little HTML. You've got to know something technical. Vox.com is nice. It's completely free. Now, the thing I don't like about it, at Vox.com, they put ads at the bottom of the page. One of these ad pages.
Yeah,
I don't like it. But, you know, it's free. And then TypePad.com. Now, this one has no free options, no low-end options that are free. The lowest one there is $4.95 a month and goes up to $29.95 a month. It's also designed for the savvy beginner. In other words, you got to know the little HTML and maybe cascading style sheets for that to work. So if it were me, I would go with WordPress.com. I would go with a hosted site. Then later on, because I like to play around with the computers, I'd probably download WordPress blogging software from WordPress.org and go with it. And that's really, now there's also another place where you can download your own blogging platform. WordPress.org is one I like, but you can also go to movabletype.org, which is pretty good, and you can download that, and they're basically open source and free. So there you go, Amy. Everything you wanted to know about setting up your own blog.
Absolutely. Good luck. Have fun, and let us know what it is.
Yeah,
write us we can check it out.
We'd like to hear about your blog.
You are listening to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, heard in the Washington area on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2, all of which are Federal News Radio. Stand by. More of the best of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed. Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. The Doc and I are away today. This is the best of Tech Talk.
And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Thank you, Mr. Big Voice.
Well, today, he's earning his money today, isn't
today
he?
Today, we are going to feature Ron Malda, mm-hmm. otherwise known as
Commander Taco.
He is founder of Slashdot, news for nerds. This is actually one of my favorite sites. Now, Slashdot, see, slash is if the backslash is the root. Is what the root directory looks like in a Unix system or mm-hmm. a Linux system. And so when you are slash dot, it's like you are at the root of the news. This is the little play on words mm-hmm. there. Now, Rob Malda. Oh, yeah, it's Rob Malda.
Ron, whatever. You're only off by one letter.
Yeah, I know. Rob Malda was born May 10th, 1976 in Holland, Michigan.
It's beautiful there this time of year, isn't it?
In middle school, he discovered computers, and soon after, he found out about the modem.
Uh-huh.
He had dial-up. He spent all of his time in the basement working on the computer with his modem.
I need to see what this guy looks like. Now, I'm going to Google him while you're talking.
You can. He's a perfect news for nerd kind of looking guy. Now, his mother's favorite punishment whenever he was bad, you could actually lock him in his room. But what she would do, she would disconnect the keyboard to his computer and lock it in her trunk.
Oh, great.
Now, but what he did, see, this was an old DOS machine. Mm-hmm. So he put in the autoexec.bat file, which is the file that it read on boot up, a line which actually queried whether the keyboard was there or not. Mm-hmm. And if the keyboard was missing, it would automatically load a bulletin board software, BBS software. And then he would go to his friend's house and log on to the BBS from his friend's house and use his computer. And his mom never knew that.
Never the
she
wiser.
She never knew that. Well, maybe she knows it now. So,
oh, that's funny.
So
well,
Ron,
it's
right,
a little late now.
It's a little late now.
He's all grown up now.
That's right. Well,
yeah, he's pretty nerdy.
BBSs were, of course, the old style, discussion groups.
Mm-hmm.
When you had the DOS machines and everything was text and we didn't have Windows. He attended Holland Christian High School. Now, in high school, he actually earned a small amount of money as a shareware programmer. He wrote programs in Turbo Pascal. Now, after he wrote a few shareware programs, he actually got a job while he was in high school at Donnelly, where he was a PC tech. Mm-hmm. And he would actually, repair PCs, get rid of viruses and all that sort of stuff. Now, he attended Hope College. And he majored in computer science. Now, for him, programming was a snap. He already knew how to program, so he felt that was probably a waste of time. And then there was also this computer theory stuff, the computer science stuff, that bored him silly. So school was not the highlight of Rob's life.
No, doesn't sound like it.
But he did graduate, and his mother was very happy about that. She didn't have to lock his keyboard up anymore. I think mm-hmm. she wanted to get him through school. Now, while he was attending college, he started experimenting with Linux, the Linux operating system, the open source Linux operating system that had been developed by Linus Torvalds. Now, Hope's computer science department operated a Sun Solaris computer at the in their computer labs, and they wouldn't let him take the Solaris to the dorm room to work on his homework. So what he did, He installed a Linux operating system on his computer in his dorm room so he could do his homework from his dorm room.
It's not a bad idea.
And also, while he was at school, he had access for the first time in his life to high-speed internet. See, mm-hmm. at home it was always just dial-up through that modem, and he loved the high-speed internet. He learned HTML. He started doing freelance consulting, and actually he landed a job with the Image Group, where he designed websites for small businesses. You notice Rob's technique. This is what we recommend all of our students do,
this
too.
This is what you recommend for
That's
people
right.
to do.
You just start
doing stuff.
You just start doing it, and then pretty soon you've got experience, even though it's not paid. By the time he got a job at the Image Group, he'd already designed several websites, probably for peanuts or for nothing, so he already had experience to show. Now, while he was at the Image Group, he learned how to create database-driven websites. This is really where all the action is, where you can get content that's changed. It can be interactive, where users can change things, and then their data is stored in a database, where you can dynamically create web pages, which are pulled off of database data. So he also picked up some graphic design skills and some page layout skills. So he was actually learning both the back end and the front end of web design. The back end, of course, is the database web applications, and the front end would be the graphic design and page layout skills. Usually you have people that know one or the other, and it's really hard to design a site with somebody that just knows one or the other. Get somebody that knows both, they're far more marketable. So he already was getting a fairly good idea of how to make himself marketable. Apparently, he had to overcome his grade situation.
Yeah, well, there's that. The whole school thing.
I could not find anywhere on the internet his GPA.
Apparently
that's highly, highly classified.
Uh-huh.
Now, while still in college, he and his friend Jeff Bates created a website that they named Slashdot. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of a geeky name, which I explained. It's the root of the news. Now, after running the site for 2 years on a shoestring, and it turns out Slashdot was actually a site where they would look around for tech news, you know, news for nerds. They would write a short summary of it and post it to Slashdot. So nerds could just go to Slashdot and they could see all the news that they would be interested in summarized there.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like a people-driven dig, where, you know, dig was the thing that we talked about last week, where where groups vote on the most popular news articles. In this case, Ron Malda and his buddy would vote on the most popular technology stories, and they would post them to Slashdot. And this became extremely popular. It grew like a rocket. Now, they ran it on a shoestring because, well, Rob didn't really know how to make money on the thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up selling it to Andover.net, which is a small company. Andover.net was then acquired by VA Linux System, which ultimately morphed into SourceForge.inc. And SourceForge.inc is now currently in business, and they're one of the big open source proponents, and they basically do a lot of open source support work. He worked full-time on Slashdot for SourceForge, and he manages the development of the software that powers Slashdot. You know what the name of the software is that powers Slashdot?
No idea.
Slash.
Slash. Pal Creative.
It's Slash powers Slashdot. Now, Slash also powers other sites like Linux.com. He also develops mass moderation tools that allow Slashdot to scale up and support large-scale discussions. Slashdot actually has so many users that when they recommend a news article, if that news article does not have a lot of web capacity, they shut down the site with all the traffic. They've been Slashdotted. They've been slashed. And so frequently that happens when they highlight a site, the site is slashed. It's a sorry state of affairs.
It's a good and bad thing at the same time.
It's both good and bad. Mm-hmm. Now, he still runs a site out of SourceForge.net in Dexter, Michigan. Now, Rob's genius, and actually he's really good at this, has been to invent ways of making it possible to combine strong editorial content with a powerful community voice. So he has a group of editors that suggest articles. He's like the grand poobah. He can always overcome them, but he's got a lot of people that are providing content to Slashdot, and they write a small, maybe three or four lines that summarize the significance of this article. So you can just read it and decide if you want to click on it and go to it. And actually, they do a very credible job of coming up with the news articles that are interesting to nerds and hot for nerds. So Slashdot, I have to say, every week on Tech Talk, that's one of my standard websites that I check them.
Yeah,
I always check. I always want to know what Commander Taco. Oh, yeah. On his
we haven't gotten to that part yet.
Well, his nickname is Commander Taco. He doesn't go by Rob
mold on the site. He's actually...
Commander Taco.
His name is CMDR-TACO. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. CMDR-TACO, Commander Taco. He also writes a monthly column for Computer Power User. Now, he loved Slashdot. So on Valentine's Day 2002, Malta proposed to Kathleen Fent using mm-hmm. the front page of Slashdot. So she posted a response on Slashdot that she accepted. So that was a Slashdot marriage proposal and marriage acceptance.
When I got to the part here where I found out he was married, I was shocked.
Yeah, well, she was, I think Kathleen is also
a nerd.
No, she's a nerdess.
A nerdess.
Yes.
Ah.
Kathleen is a nerdess. And so they were married December 8th, 2002 in Las Vegas. He doesn't look like a Las Vegas wedding guy either.
No, he doesn't. And he doesn't look terribly nerdy. I mean, some of the pictures of him look kind of nerdy.
Now, here's where Captain Commander Taco came from.
Mm-hmm.
There was a book written by Dave Barry, and the book was Claw Your Way to the Top, How to Become the Head of a Major Corporation in Roughly a Week. Now... I've never read this book.
I think I need to read that.
But the final entry in a list of bad restaurants for business lunches, which is actually listed in this book, the final entry in a list of bad restaurants for business lunches is Commander Taco. So he took his name from the last item on the list of bad restaurants, Taco.
I'm on Slashdot right now. They have some interesting stuff today. Apple Schiller responds to iPhone dictionary app fiasco. You'd find that interesting,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, I know. That's right.
10 things we still don't understand about humans.
Yes, I know.
And there's another couple things here that are pretty good. Here's a good one. Finding new and unintended ways of playing games.
Yes. Every week there's something there interesting. I normally pick something out of that.
There's something here, the CommanderTaco.net. I used to be in charge in parentheses.
That's right. And that is CommanderTaco.net is his home page. You found it.
I found it.
CMDRTACO.net, CommanderTaco.net. Mm. So if you want to find out all about Rob Malda, Commander Taco, you can go there, and he's the man.
There's one more
behind
thing.
Behind Slashdot.
This
yes.
is pretty good. There's a link on here for navigating a geek marriage. You believe that?
I haven't read that one. That could be an interesting
that
item.
That could be very yeah. interesting,
maybe,
yes.
Maybe we better check on that offline.
We should do that offline and off air.
We are exactly. on the air exactly. today. This is Tech Talk, the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and also in D.C. on 103.5 FM HD2. North and west of Washington in Frederick, Hagerstown, points north and west of here. You can hear us on 820 AM. And in the far south and west Virginia suburbs, you can hear us on 107.7 FM HD2. We've got more for you to listen to here in just a few minutes and your chance to win free food. So stay with us on the best of Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. Nope, it's not Monty Hall. It's not Ed McMahon. It's not Dr. Richard Church. It's this guy right here.
I will be that guy right here, except that I'm not right here. I'm somewhere else, and so is the doc today. So, but we still have the pop quiz. As we always do, we care. We want you to have free food. So a few minutes ago, we told you all about Commander Taco, Rob Malda, the guy who started Slash Dot. On Valentine's Day 2002, what major life event did Commander Taco orchestrate on the front page of his website, Slash Dot? If you know the answer to that question, you need to race to a phone and dial these following 10 numbers in the right order and talk to our producer, Andrew Mitchell, who will take your name and number and address and all that good stuff. And we'll send you tickets to the Escoffier at Stratford University, fine dining on the campus of Stratford University in Falls Church, or at the cafe that's at the university in the campus in Woodbridge, Virginia. And the name of that is escaping me at the moment. I'm sure the doc will kill me for that. Okay, the question once again. Rob Malda, Commander Taco, orchestrated what major life event on his front page of the website Slash Dot, and this happened on Valentine's Day 2002. If you know the answer to that question, call us right now, 877-936-9333. Once again, 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. This is the best of Tech Talk.
There are some technologies I call that just don't know when they're dead. I call them tech zombies.
Am I dead yet?
They're alive. They think they're alive, but actually they're on the way out. Let's look at some technologies that are already dead.
Shall we?
Okay, the phone book.
Of course it's
the
dead.
The phone book is absolutely dead. Nobody uses the phone book. But if you talk to the Yellow Pages or One Book, they think, hey, this is a hot ticket. There are something like...
Killing trees is what they're doing.
There's something like 620 million phone books printed each year. Somebody estimated that 10% of the dump was throwing away phone books.
Why? Why do we still do this?
Nobody uses the phone book
anymore.
No,
of course not. I can't remember the last time I opened a phone book.
Phone books are an example of a tech zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, the newspaper.
Of course.
Now, the Washington Post, they don't even list themselves as in the newspaper business. They say they're in the education business and multimedia business. They are not in the newspaper business because their newspaper revenues are so far down.
Yeah.
Newspapers are already out. How about payphones?
I can't even find a payphone anymore.
No, you can't find. We've got two payphones in our building, and Verizon's coming in to take them out because nobody uses them. It used to be all of our students used payphones, but now they've all got cell phones. Everybody's got a cell phone. How about encyclopedias? Do you think people use encyclopedias, or do they just go Google it up?
They Google it up, and unfortunately, a lot of times they wind up in Wikipedia.
They end up in Wikipedia. So these things, these are examples that are already out. Do you have any other thing that you can think of in that list there?
Basically, anything that's on paper anymore is outmoded,
you know,
don't
really,
you think?
Anything that's on paper, yeah. And now, you know, another thing
except for books, because, you know...
Books are, I mean...
But they're probably on the way out, because we've talked before on the show about ways that you're going to be able to get books on your computer and on PDAs.
Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. I just love to hold a book.
I think I'm with you on that one, yeah. So maybe they're not on the way
out. Now, the things that are on the way out... This is kind of interesting. I think MP3 players are on the way out because they're going to be replaced by multifunction phones.
Well,
like the iPhone.
Have one of those, yeah.
You see, because, I mean, who's going to want to have an MP3 player and a phone?
Well, I have one of each.
But eventually it's going to be in
probably.
It's going to
yeah.
be it's going to be combined. So it's not out yet, but it's going out, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because all the buzz at Apple is really on the iPhone, not
right.
on the iPod.
Right, right.
You see?
Exactly.
So what they did, they turned their iPod into a phone. See, Apple is kind of the head of the curve on that. They turned their iPod into a phone and made it an iPhone.
Smart idea.
Now, DVDs are on the way out because it's going to be everything's going to be downloaded over the Internet. Who's going to want to go rent a DVD or buy a DVD?
Well, you can just
download it.
Renting it anyway is kind of dead because there's so many places where you can just order it online and they send it to your mailbox.
You order it online, but eventually it's going to be on-demand delivery, and you're just it's all going to be just straight media coming in. You know, home phones with landlines are on the way out. I mean, we still have one, but we don't use it.
I don't. I have a cell phone. That's it.
You
have no landline.
You are ahead of the curve.
Well,
you
barely.
Are really
I'm just cheap. That's
you
what
are
I am.
Ahead of the curve, I'll mm-hmm. tell you. Now, I'm telling you, lecture halls at universities are on the way out, replaced by online education.
I was going to say, what are you going to do with all your lecture halls?
Well, we're going to just use them for, you don't use lecture. You have blended instruction where they get some of the content online, then they come in and they do group work.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come in and listen to some talking head. They mm-hmm. get that over the internet.
Good idea.
Now, cash is actually on the way out.
Yeah, probably pretty rapidly.
Because I mean, when I go on travel now, I just use credit cards. Now there are certain applications that you can only use cash, and I'm sure I got a picture of it there.
Well, yeah, boy, I know where your mind is. If people go to the Tech Talk website, will they see this picture?
I don't think.
When they go to the outline for today,
they're slipping a $1 bill under a string.
Yeah, a string attached to a bikini bottom.
Now that's something that credit cards just don't work for that
they
application.
They don't work for that.
So that's why cash is still not completely
that's called
out yet.
Point of sale purchase,
that's
I think.
That's right.
Yes.
So there you go. There's a few examples of tech zombies, technologies that just don't know they're dead.
Well, I guess cash never will be out.
That's right. I'll take your cash, any spare cash you have laying around. You're listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Stand by, more coming right up.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different. With campuses in Tysons Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed. Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University. This is the best of Tech Talk. The Doc and I are away today, but we continue on as usual, and we want to remind you that Johnny Law is watching you.
Police have been using GPS devices for tracking.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They've been putting GPS devices on inside the bumpers of cars, on cars.
It's amazing what they can do.
They don't have to basically follow the guy. They just put the GPS device on his car, and then they just sit back in the station.
Just watch where he goes.
And they just watch the browser with the map, and they watch him driving around. Now, law enforcement officials really don't like to discuss this so much because mm-hmm. they don't like to actually let the bad guy know what they're up to. Now, Arlington police have admitted that they've used GPS devices 70 times in the last 3 years. Mostly to catch car thieves, also in homicide cases, robbery, and narcotics investigations. Now, GPS devices receive signals from a network of satellites and then use the information to calculate their precise location. There are actually 11 satellites up there, and it takes a minimum of 3, but if you also want to derive time from it, it takes 4 satellites. So I've got a little GPS device, and I can see when it tracks on all 4 satellites.
Mm-hmm.
My car satellite doesn't get, but I can sort of get a diagnostic window on my other one and a little Garmin device, and I can... And it tells me which satellite I'm tracking. And once you track on all 4 satellites, you get a good signal. Now, the Defense Department operates the GPS system, and it was really initially for defense applications, but they released its use for civilian applications in 1996. They don't give the precise satellite locations to the civilians. So the accuracy of the GPS information that you derive from the satellites is maybe, you know, 30 feet or 40 feet. Now, see, the military can probably get it down to less than an inch or something. It's classified,
that's
whatever
amazing.
It is. Yeah, but you see, all the satellites have slight perturbations to their orbits, and you need to know the precise orbital location to get it exactly right. And those corrections to the orbit, they don't release to the unclassified community. Now, there are two types of GPS trackers that are available. I mean, two types of ways to use it. One is real-time tracking, where you have a tracker that actually reports back where it is. It detects where it's located, and then it reports back to some central location where it is. It could, you know, maybe it dials in with the phone or something. It's some sort of link back to the system. And you can buy a service. You can buy a real-time tracker, and you can pay between $29 and $39 a month,
mm-hmm.
and it will track that device real-time. So if you want to, say, track where your kids are with the car, you can put one of these GPS trackers on the bumper of your car. Now, these real-time trackers cost between $300 and $500 each. You just stick it on the bumper of the car. You can actually tie it into the power of the car so you don't have to worry about the battery running
yeah.
out. Or you can also have battery-operating ones, but then you got to change the battery
exactly.
every couple
which is a pain
weeks.
In the neck. The perp finds you underneath the car changing the battery.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah,
and then you can just pay $29 to $39 a month, and then you can watch your kids driving around in real time on a map. This has been used for a lot of purposes,
yeah.
really, other than just tracking kids. Now, you can also get the stored tracking device. This device is a lot cheaper, and there's no monthly charge. It just stores the tracking information internally, and typically these can store around 250 hours of tracking information. Then you periodically go out, plug it into your computer, download the data, and it will tell you where the car's been
mm-hmm.
over the lifespan of the tracking data. These devices cost less than $250, a little bit cheaper, but it's just not as exciting, I don't think, as tracking it real time.
Of course not.
So the police are using this real time tracking, and they're saying, look, for $300 to $500 and $29 a month, I can have one guy back in the office sitting there eating donuts, drinking coffee, and tracking four or five cars.
Oh, what a stereotype that is.
Watch it.
Okay. See across the street? See the police station?
Okay.
They're listening.
Sitting there having bagels and cream cheese.
Correct.
and health juice.
Can I tell you a funny story about
yes.
the police surveillance of a friend with IAD, Internal Affairs Division.
Okay, yeah.
And I went over to see him one day, and there's this big telephone transformer, electrical transformer mm-hmm. hanging in IAD. I said, what are you doing with that? Oh, we put cameras in those, and we hang them on telephone poles to watch people.
Yeah.
Pretty neat idea.
It is. That is a very good idea.
Be very careful. Very afraid.
I got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip, and the right to arrest.
This is the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Stay with us. We will be right back.
I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different. With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed. Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
This is the best of Tech Talk. The Doc and I are away today, but we still have all the good stuff you like. And a lot of times we do the best of on Saturdays. I like to give you some food science because the Doc knows a lot about food and the chemistry behind food. So today we're going to have some pickles on that.
Now, what is pickling? Let's go to the food science section.
Absolutely. This is one of my favorite things ever.
Now, pickling is a global culinary art. It's used in almost every country. And if you'd go to an international tour, you would find pickled foods just about everywhere. You might find kosher cucumbers in New York City, chutneys in India, kimchi in Korea.
Deep kimchi.
Yeah, kimchi. I don't like the smell of kimchi.
Yeah, it doesn't smell
miso
very
pickles
good.
In Japan, salted duck eggs in China, pickled herring in Scandinavia, salsas in Mexico. Now, what makes a pickle a pickle? Now, in general, pickled foods are foods that are soaked in solutions that help prevent spoilage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two basic kinds of pickling. The first type of pickling puts the foods into vinegar. Now, vinegar is a strong acid where few bacteria can survive. Most of the bottled kosher cucumber pickles and available in supermarkets are preserved in vinegar. Now, the second category of pickling is caused by soaking the product in salt brine to encourage fermentation, which would be the growth of good bacteria, and that makes the foods less vulnerable to bad bacteria. Common examples of fermented pickles include kimchi and cucumber dill pickles. Now, for thousands of years, our ancestors explored ways to pickle foods because they would have, you know, they'd have a big harvest, they'd have all this food, but they could only eat so much, and they had to store it over the winter. So it was a way to preserve food without refrigeration. Now, historians know that over 2,000 years ago, the workers building the Great Wall of China ate sauerkraut, which is a kind of fermented cabbage. You know, I always thought it was German. I mean, I had no idea it came from China. Now, pickling foods does more than simply preserve them. It can also change their taste in a very interesting way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pickled foods have changed the taste of cultures. For instance, in Southeast Asia, they like spicy, sour taste because that's what the pickled product is, and the more acidic flavors in Eastern Europe. So just be aware that pickling has a real practical use, whether it be pickled in vinegar or pickled in salt.
This is the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. You're listening to us on 1500 AM or 103.5 FM HD2 in Washington, D.C. In the Northern Virginia area, you can hear us on 107.7 FM HD2. And in the far north and western suburbs, Frederick, Hagerstown, and Points West on 820 AM. We're always online at stratford.edu. That's where you can learn more about Stratford University. And to learn more about this show, go to techtalkonline.com. There you can see outlines for all of our previous shows. You can download podcasts and MP3s of our shows, any of them that we've done. And you can also send the Doc a question. We love your email questions. Again, that is techtalkonline.com to learn all about this radio program and to send Dr. Church your technical questions, which we'll answer right here on the air, here on Tech Talk. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Demand is great for IT professionals that can gain a security clearance. According to a recent Federal Computer Week article, federal agencies and private sector businesses that support government contracts can't get enough credentialed people to keep pace with government work. Tremendous opportunities exist for mid-career and late-career workers if they are retrained, particularly if they have had previous military service. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares students to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers, here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to the best of Tech Talk. The Doc and I are away today, but we will continue on with the best of Tech Talk here on Federal News Radio. And as such, we go right back into the kitchen.
I love the microwave for, like, heating water, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about how the microwave actually works. The microwave operates at a frequency of around 2400 megahertz. Now, what that is, there is a water absorption band that peaks around 2400 megahertz, and you can either go on the high side of the water absorption band or the low side of the water absorption band, and you're actually heating up the water in the food. Now, you don't want to be right at the peak of the water absorption band because all the waves would be absorbed on just the surface. You want to penetrate it so they're actually detuning it a little bit off the water absorption band. So it heats up the water molecules. Now, what that means then is that when you're heating up the food, it never gets any hotter than the boiling point of water.
That's interesting.
So it never gets hotter than 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, that means that there are no Maillard reactions. This is the thing that roasts beef, because a Maillard reaction to brown the beef occurs at 285 degrees Fahrenheit. That's why when you cook roast beef, it just turns gray.
Yeah.
Because there's no Maillard reaction. But it is good for various kinds of foods that actually just cook in water and don't need to go above the boiling point of water. Like, for instance, fish.
Fish.
Fish, which is poached. You can put it in a liquid mm-hmm. there. You can poach it. Fish works very nicely in a microwave.
Steamed vegetables.
You can steam vegetables. That works very well. Eggs work very well in a microwave. You could actually do scrambled eggs. You could do a soft cooked egg in a microwave.
Now, the danger in overcooking is cooking all the water out of something. Is that the problem with the microwave? Is that how you mess things up?
Well, I mean, if you cook it till the water completely evaporates, I mean, you could ruin food that way, mm-hmm. I suppose. But it's fairly easy to operate. Now, sugar, you can actually use sugar. You could take caramel and you could add a little bit of sugar to it, and you could add sugar and water, and you can make caramel in the microwave too. So that works well. Oil doesn't heat up at all.
I didn't know that.
Put a glass of oil in, it won't heat up.
So you try to cook something with oil, it's not going to work.
That's right. That's exactly right.
This is the best of Tech Talk, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. One more dive into the kitchen right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Demand is great for IT professionals that can gain a security clearance. According to a recent Federal Computer Week article, federal agencies and private sector businesses that support government contracts can't get enough credentialed people to keep pace with government work. Tremendous opportunities exist for mid-career and late-career workers if they are retrained, particularly if they have had previous military service. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares students to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. We're going back into the kitchen. Would you like some fries with that?
Today on the plate, we have potatoes.
Oh, no. Too many carbs, Doc.
It's okay. You know, all of you people on the Atkins diet, just put on the earmuffs because we are going to be talking about potatoes. Now, there are mm-hmm. many different types of potatoes, and each has its best cooking method. Potatoes, as you know, are all about starch and water.
Yeah.
The cooking methods control the reaction between the two. Let's take a high-starch potato that's baked. The starch inside the potato absorbs water from other parts of the potato and swells.
making a space between the cells and creating kind of a mealy, dry texture. When a potato is deep-fried, pan-fried, or roasted, the starch on the surface expands, sealing the edges and the surface, creating a crisp crust and keeping the interior moist.
Mm-hmm.
Boiling or low-starch potatoes do not absorb as much water, so the cell structure stays intact and the potato holds its shape. Now, there are several potato types. Russet potatoes have a very high starch content with low moisture. These potatoes are used for baking. These potatoes are, when baked, are mealy and fluffy, and they're the best choice for mashed potatoes, too. That's
really?
What I use. I use russet potatoes for mashed. The reason, well, actually, I picked a russet. I like a big potato when I do mashed potatoes because it's easier to peel a big potato.
Sure.
There's less peeling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I can peel more potatoes whenever I use a big potato.
Or you can make mashed potatoes and leave the skins on them.
No, but I don't.
You don't like that?
I don't like. Well, see, if you do those little red potatoes that sometimes they. I know I don't like that. I like my skins off.
Yeah. Now, you're a traditionalist.
Now, I really am. Medium starch potatoes include Yukon Gold or yellowfin potatoes. Now, they aren't as fluffy as russets, but have a great flavor. Yukon Gold potatoes especially, they taste a little buttery when cooked.
Now, I like that.
Potatoes with low starch content and high moisture include the red and white potatoes. These potatoes are most often boiled or roasted, so you wouldn't want to take a white potato and bake it, you see, because it's low starch. See, so you've actually got to pick your potatoes carefully, you know. They hold up well when they're cooked. You see, the low-starch potatoes, they actually keep their structure when they're boiled or roasted. They're used in potato salad because of their creamy texture. They also hold together after being cooked. They don't fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then, of course, there are sweet potatoes and yams. Now, those are actually from two different tubers. Yams are a member of the lily family.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And sweet potatoes are a member of the morning glory family.
And I thought they were the same thing with two different names.
No, you got the lily family and the morning glory family. In the United States, you're most always buying sweet potatoes since true yams are not available. And there's about all you ever wanted to know about potatoes, especially if you are an Atkins diet person.
So, truly, the lower starch content and higher moisture are better potatoes for you if you're trying to avoid starch and
carbs and stuff, right? But if you want to go for the taste, the lower starch you tend to boil,
yep.
And the high starch you tend to bake.
Have you ever had the blue potatoes?
No.
They're pretty good. You find those at kind of the higher end
stores, you know what I mean? No,
but they're kind of fun.
Those. You know, the commercial CD turned 26 this week.
Really?
You know, we do have the first song that was ever played on a CD. I can't remember what it is,
It's by these people. We'll play a little bit of this and get in trouble. It's by ABBA.
ABBA. Yeah, the first song, actually, the first commercial compact disc came out August 17th, 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they originally designed the compact disc to play 60 minutes of audio, but when Sony came out with the first disc, the president just loved Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, so they extended it to 74 minutes,
mm-hmm.
So Beethoven's entire Ninth Symphony could be contained on the CD.
We'd like to thank you for your kind attention this morning to Tech Talk here on Federal News Radio. 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We will be back in studio live with another show next Saturday at 9 AM. In the meantime, you can find out more about Tech Talk by going to us on the web at techtalkonline.com. You can see all of the notes from all of our previous shows. You can listen to our shows via MP3 format or also by downloading us from Apple iTunes. And you can learn more about Stratford University by going to stratford.edu. Thanks again for listening to the best of Tech Talk.
Learn more about Stratford University Program's consumer information by visiting their website at www.stratford.edu/content_pages/view/degree-programs.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated.